Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We are nearing the end of the book of Genesis and we have come a very long way from creation to Adam and Eve in Eden to Noah and the Great Flood. The promises of God to Abraham that one day the land where he was going would be his and his descendants. And Abraham didn't even have a son at this time. Then there was Isaac and Jacob and then all the sons of Jacob. And now we are nearing the end of the story of Joseph. And today Jacob is going to die in the narrative. And we'll see that Joseph keeps his word to his father Jacob and helps him to go back to the burial place of his ancestors. Genesis chapter 50, verses 1 through 14. Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, my father made me swear an oath and said, 'I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return.' Pharaoh said, 'Go up and bury your father as he made you swear to do.' So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt. Besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers, and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad, near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly. And there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, 'The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning.' That is why the place near the Jordan is called Abel Mizraim." So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him, to bury his father." Let's move on now to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 78, the last portion of the Psalm, beginning in verse 56. You'll remember that this is Asaph retelling the history. And yesterday in verse 55, we learned that God drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. So this is the land of Canaan. And we've gotten to the part of the story where the Israelites have entered and established themselves in the land of Canaan. And now in the psalm, he's going to tell us what happens next, starting in verse 56. "But they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless. As unreliable as a faulty bow, they angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was furious. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set up among humans. He sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. He gave his people over to the sword. He was furious with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their young women had no wedding songs. Their priests were put to the sword, and their widows could not weep. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a warrior wakes from the stupor of wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame. Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. This is an interesting psalm in that it portrays God as sleeping. So we ask the natural question, does God sleep? Well, according to the Moody Bible Commentary on the Psalms, the sleeping God motif that is found throughout the Psalms should be understood as describing God in human terms. So God is not a human, but sometimes throughout the Psalms, he's described in human terms. It's called anthropomorphism. Anyway, both Psalm 121:4 and Isaiah 40, verse 28, assure us that we have a God who does not sleep. Let me turn over to Psalm 121 to read that for us. I'm actually going to start in verse 3 of Psalm 121. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So to picture God as needing to be awakened thus expresses human emotion rather than a theological fact about God. In other words, God's apparent inactivity for a while is now broken in a startling manner. The idea that God never sleeps is comforting to me. While I'm finite and in need of rest, and also I can get really irritable when I haven't had my rest, God is not like that. God doesn't require anything to recharge him. God is infinite and powerful, and he never falters. And so we praise you, Lord, for the fact that we can depend upon you, that you neither slumber nor sleep. You are always at work for your glory and our good. Now let's turn over to the book of John. Today we are in John chapter 13, verses 21 through 30, and this is John's retelling of the Last Supper. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Hey, thanks for listening along as we read God's Word together. It is a pleasure to be with you on a daily basis to read God's Word. What stuck out to me in this passage in John is the last four words that I read. and it was night. Think about it. Judas has just been deceived by the evil one. It says that Satan entered him, and right after that, John makes note that it is night. I think that the writer probably is using some symbolism here. Maybe physically it was night, but also this darkness is meant to remind us that Satan operates in the dark, because the light will expose him. And we are called as the children of God to be in the light, to live and to walk in the light and the ultimate truth that Jesus is Lord. And this is not a statement that we just make with our tongues. This is something that we are called to live. Jesus is Lord, and thus I will live in such a way that all of my life reflects him. And so let's pray in that regard as we end the podcast today. Father, thank you for Jesus, who is the light of the world. Help us, Lord, to recognize the times when Satan seeks to deceive us with his lies. Make us aware of the situations and circumstances in our lives that we seek to hide in darkness, because we know at the core they are from the evil one. Or perhaps we have been deceived like Judas, and so bring that to light. Help us, Lord, to be exposed in the most gracious way, knowing that you have grace upon grace for us. Lord, as your scripture says, we are children of the light, and so help us to live and to walk in your ways, in the ways that bring love and joy and peace to the world around us, in the ways that bring truth with grace. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.